listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with ABQ Connect live via the phone with Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates. Brian, thank you for joining us this afternoon. I'm excited to talk to you, but I know you've probably had a very traumatic week or so looking at these investment markets.
Yeah, we've had a lot of good conversations with clients who are sharing different concerns throughout the week and the last couple weeks, really. So it's been a busy one for our office for sure.
Well, I know this. I know a lot of people in 62 years old is my age, and I have a lot of people that are looking at their 401ks and they're just absolutely almost panicking, you know, losing, you know, 12-15% of the value in 2 weeks is kind of a scary proposition. But you are always the voice of reason, Brian, and that's why we wanted to have you on the show right in the middle of all of this. Talk to us a little bit about the five principles for down markets, and I guess the first one would be preparation.
Yeah, and I think the key foundation for all these principles is they're true of all down markets. What we know in looking through history is every crisis, every market downturn is caused by something different. Mm-hmm. But the human response is almost always right in line. So, you nailed it right off the top. Preparation is really important. What you'll find is in times like this, if you are not prepared, if you have not been following good financial principles, it's going to show up. Mm-hmm. I love the Warren Buffett quote. He says, only when the tide goes out do you discover who's been swimming naked. So, what does swimming naked look like financially? Maybe you don't have an emergency reserve. Maybe you've been taking on too much debt. Maybe you've been taking too much risk in your investments and being speculative rather than using good principles. So those are all things that we teach all the time, and this is a lesson learned for maybe some young investors that were breaching those principles, or for some folks who are getting closer to retirement, that this is a reminder of what volatility can really look like.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to be prepared for throughout those retirement years for those who are saving, trying to be financially independent.
Brian, this is totally off script, but I spoke to a friend of mine that is one of the leading mortgage lenders in the state of New Mexico, and she explained to me today that people that are buying more expensive homes that would be jumbo loans, they are really experiencing some difficulty now obtaining financing. First of all, the rates on jumbo loans are all the way up to like 4.5-5%, which is considerably higher than what they should do based on what the indexes are doing. And a lot of banks right now are getting really, really nervous about funding those type of loans. So she expects that that whole industry of jumbo mortgage lending may be put on hold fairly soon.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of uncertainty throughout the markets right now, and that's what a lot of the news has been around, is how is the government, how is the Federal Reserve, how are central banks around the world trying to stabilize some of those rocky parts of the market as people worry about liquidity and other issues that could come as a ripple effect to the, you know, the economic actions that we're taking by slowing down, you know, certain sectors and isolating the population. So
right,
there's going to be sectors like that that are just uncertain for the next, you know, few weeks at least.
Brian, why do you see the market, if we looked at it last week and you just used Dow as one of the measures, the Dow Industrials were down for 2 or 3 days by as much as 10-11%. Then all of a sudden they went up 3%, and then they went down another 2 or 3%, and then they are up another day. Why is it there just a consistent drop? Is there something that investors hear in the market and it makes them want to start buying again? Kind of explain that if you would.
Sure. So there's always a seller and there's a buyer when market prices are changing and stocks are changing hands, and they have different opinions on price. But what you're seeing right now at the extreme level of volatility is people are really trying to figure out, with all the information that's changing so quickly, what does this mean for the underlying value of each company? Mm. So traditional investors are looking at the story that's happening right now, that what's unfolding, and they're trying to quantify what does that mean for company earnings for each individual corporation out there. Now, on top of that, what's added to that volatility, we believe, we won't know for sure at any time, but we think the algorithmic traders, the traders that are trading sometimes thousands of times a minute,
mm-hmm.
That can make money in these high volume environments, they're at play. And that's what might take the volatility of a normal 3-5% down day and turn it into a 7 to 10% down day. But also they can work the other direction. So when you get those big up days, they pick up the upward volume and they start to participate. So there's just a lot of different forces at play, but not all of them reflect the same investment horizon and perspective and goals that our average client might, which is a long-term perspective, holding stocks to add value to their retirement, you know, sometimes 10, 20, 30 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys are trying to make money, you know, 10, 20, 30 milliseconds down the road. So you end up with a lot of different forces at play, and that spikes the volatility both up and down.
I love the sound bites that you give us every time we meet, Brian. In fact, I try to post those on our podcast, and you always give us three or four, but one is just always stands out in my mind. You told us that if we take any 20-year period out of, let's say, the last 50 years, and you can stop and start that 20 years anytime you want, that the market has always been positive during that 20-year period. And I'm fascinated with that because most of us get really, really nervous about what's going on right now in the markets, and we automatically want to sell. Why is it? Talk to us a little bit more about these principles for down markets.
Yeah, I think that goes to the idea that time in the market, you know, how long you invest is more important than timing the market. So one of the questions we get from clients right now is, I think it's going to go lower, so I'd like to sell now and buy back when it's down lower. And I really struggle with that. So our principle on that is that selling out of the market is two decisions. It's first off, am I going to get out? And that's sometimes the easier decision because it gives you peace of mind. You know, you're feeling pain right now. Your mind's processing a lot of fear. And so getting out of the market might stop that pain temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've got the harder decision about when do I get back in? And from my experience working with a lot of families over the years, no one's really getting back in much lower, if at all. Oftentimes you're buying back the same asset you just sold, but at a higher price. And that's not a good investment principle. So this idea that selling out is two decisions is key. Really, the only way you're successful in that is if you sell right now because you're scared and then buy back when it's lower, when you'll probably be more scared and the news will be worse. And I just don't see a lot of people who are more willing to buy when things are worse. So it makes it very difficult if you're trying to time the markets in the short term because the emotions really create a big barrier to successful execution of that buying and selling.
And I've written this down. Time in the market is more important than timing the market, which leads me really to my next question. What about those people that are trying to find the bottom of the market before they start buying?
Yeah, I think one thing there that people forget is that most market bottoms, this is kind of the third principle, most market bottoms are a process, not an event. We've had a rare exception to that fairly recently in 2018. In the fourth quarter, markets dropped really rapidly, and we saw markets bottom out on Christmas Eve. And then they really just shot straight back up from there, and we had a really strong and fast recovery. Usually what will happen is the markets will sort of pace along. They'll drop quickly and then maybe move up and down a little bit sideways for some period of time before a bottom's created and we start to see upside. And that makes it very difficult for people to trade because when I say bounce along, you might have 5 or 6% moves up and down sideways for a while. So people who are trying to time that perfect entry, it's really hard to do. But the most important lesson there is that it's not necessary. So the stock market long-term has averaged over 9% a year if you look at the S&P 500 without any timing, without getting out at the top and getting in at the bottom. You can really just participate as long as you're not selling out during these lows, and you can get that 9% a year that most of us would be very happy with long-term. Where most of us fall short is we're trying so hard to time the tops and bottoms that we end up actually deteriorating away that return through bad timing.
So there's a number of people right now that have been working in jobs, and I suspect that they've either been furloughed and they have a little bit of time off and maybe they're not making any income. How do you try to encourage people that right now may not have the same level of income or no income at all, Brian?
Yeah, I think that's the population that when you look at government policy and what they're trying to put together in different bills in Washington and what you'll see at the state level, that's the population that's most addressed in a lot of these bills as far as providing some sort of immediate financial relief. And there's a lot of different discussions on how to do that. some people call that helicopter money, the idea that someone's just flying over and just dropping checks down to the American population. And what I hate about that is some people call that sort of a bailout for those people, or they call it a bailout for companies like airlines that might need support right now. And what I would say about that is both those companies and the individuals that we're talking about that need these resources right now to help keep the economy afloat, help keep their households afloat and their businesses, this is not a bailout. They didn't do something wrong, and now we're bailing them out. They've just been the immediate victims of a very rapid change in the economy. So I think for them, I'd say, you know, this is, you know, time to tighten your belts a little bit. There's not really a magic cure for them, but the government is really trying to pull together some resources for them quickly so that in the next couple of weeks we'll have money in their hands to help float them. Yes. But to me, it's really a call for the rest of us who maybe aren't in that tight circumstance to step forward. It's a great time to trust God, to be generous, and we can talk in a minute maybe about some of those local organizations that could make the most sense if you have resources to give at this point.
Well, let's go back to the five principles for a down market. The first one we talked about was preparation and how that matters, and you gave us the quote by Warren Buffett that only when the tide goes out do you discover who's been swimming naked. That's a picture that I'm not sure all of us would appreciate, but it is absolutely an illustration of where a lot of people are caught, where they, you know, don't have emergency room, emergency reserves and too much debt. And so it's time, if there's ever a time, this is a time to make those corrections. So let's take, for example, just a real life examination of, let's say you're a nurse, and right now nurses are in high demand, plenty of jobs available, plenty of work. In some ways it might be a little nerve-wracking because you're going to be exposed a little bit more probably to the coronavirus, but people are out there, our healthcare workers are battling. But what if you all of a sudden think, gee, my 401k is not doing very well, so I better stop contributing to it? What do you have to say to people about that?
I'd say if your income is fairly secure during this period, and for a lot of people it is, you know, you've probably got 25% or more of the population represents the other group you were talking about who's really at risk right now. But for the rest of us, I'd say stay the course. I mean, a lot of us are contributing to retirement plans, where you get sort of that buy one, get one free deal with your employer match, where if I put in 3 or 4% of my income, my employer will match. So you're already getting a good deal. And now, not only do you get buy one, get one free, but stocks just went 30% off. So it's a good time to be a buyer if your time horizon and your risk tolerance allow for owning stocks right now. And I would say time horizon was for stocks, we usually look at 5 to 7 years or more. So if you have that long-term time horizon, these dips like this, these dramatic drops, in hindsight, usually represent a really good buying opportunity. So you certainly don't want to be stopping your investments. You want to either be holding what you own or, as you are able, based on your risk tolerance and your personal finances, you know, continue to contribute to those and continue buying.
The second principle you shared with us today is every event is different, but the response is generally the same from people. It becomes event driven versus systemic type issues, expansion of the breadth of rational beliefs. Now explain that to me, because a lot of us are so nervous that we can't see the forest through the trees.
Yeah. So what happens when you have a sudden change, like what we've experienced, where something is rather unprecedented and the markets are reacting, you can't really discount any projections. So when the market's going down this fast, it's really trying to measure, as I said before, the earnings impact, the profitability impact, when we really don't know how bad this could get. Now, every day with news and with more testing and with more potential treatments, everything that comes out that's positive starts to narrow down some of those really bad outcomes that could be possible. But at first, you can't really you can't discount any of those extreme projections. So, for example, early in the virus, they're saying, okay, 100 million Americans could be affected. That's kind of worst case scenario. But once you start taking the actions that states and federal government has taken to isolate people, those, some of those worst case scenarios start to drop. And I think that could be what indicates a bottom at some point in this market. Again, not trying to time it, but just looking at what could change the market is when you start to rule out some of those worst case scenarios. And in an event driven recession, like what we might be experiencing here, where it's driven by a specific event rather than systemic issues, a lot of times you get that bottom and then a rapid recovery.
Yeah. Brian Cochran, he is with John Moore Associates, and he's been with them since 2013. He's a certified financial planner. Brian works closely with tax advisors, attorneys, and insurance professionals to help meet the financial objectives of the families he serves. Brian's gotten a few awards. Forbes named him the number one advisor in New Mexico for 2018. He was the number one millennial advisor in New Mexico and number three overall advisor in their 2017 rankings. This is a guy that knows what he's doing. He's going to stay with us now for the next half hour, so we hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. More with Brian Cochran right after these messages.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budgay. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local, follow local media, and finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise at knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran with John Moore and Associates on the phone with us this afternoon. Brian is a certified financial planner. John Moore Associates, Brian, has been around a number of years, and they're handling a lot of crazy things for people right now in the investment markets, and you are really encouraging us to stay the course. There's every indication that our market can recover, and this isn't really a, I guess you use the word systemic problem. There's just issues with this coronavirus right now.
Yeah, and certainly there's going to be ripple effects throughout the economy. No one's questioning that. But I'm hearing a lot of comparisons to 2008 where you had foundational issues throughout the economy mm-hmm. that made that period so long and unusually long for a
recession. You mean things like no document? You're talking about no document mortgage loans where people were getting $1 million loans and they had income of about $20,000 a year and credit scores of about 500? Yeah, I was around when all that was happening.
Yep. And that was an example of two of the big systemic issues back then, which was people taking too much debt personally as households, but also banks being, you know, improperly leveraged and taking a lot more risk than they should. And we don't see those issues today. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons the Federal Reserve was so quick to act on all this, it's not that an interest rate cut or new liquidity in the markets can cure the virus. It just provides confidence in the markets that we're not going to have massive liquidity crunch that creates a much bigger issue. So again, there's going to be problems. There's going to be ripple effects of this throughout the year. But it's not nearly the broad issue that we saw in 2008.
So again, I want to review what we've talked about so far. Five principles for a down market. First of all, preparation matters. And if you've been prepared, don't panic. Don't leave your plan. Stay where you're at. If you haven't prepared, you really need to start, I think, with getting yourself some emergency reserves from this point forward. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
The second thing is every event is different, but the response is generally the same. So you see in, I guess you would call it human nature, people get scared. They act out of fear rather than, again, following the plan that they've set forth. You know, they have a long-term plan. They ought to stick with it. And then number three, don't try to time the market. The bottoms are a process, not an event. That doesn't happen on a Tuesday, right? Your quote was, time in the market is more important than timing the market.
Exactly. Long-term participation is what's important more so than getting the bottom just right.
Yeah. And then selling out of your stocks is really two decisions. Explain that one more time, and then we'll talk about number five.
So again, the two decisions you have to make when you sell out is the easy one, which is I'm in pain. My portfolio is frustrating me. It's scaring me. I feel fear. So I'm going to stop that process by selling. The hard decision is when do I get back in? And again, what I said before and what I continue to tell clients when we talk about this is I can't recall a single scenario where I've seen someone sell out because of fear and then get back in lower. They always sell out and they come back in higher, and selling low and buying back higher is not a good investment principle.
Yeah, absolutely. And then number five, you say don't miss the recovery. What do you mean by that?
So if you're already in the market and you've been experiencing the downside, it's really to sort of give up and say, okay, this isn't working for me. This isn't what I wanted when I started investing. I'm feeling fear. I think this could get worse. There's a lot of things you're telling yourself right now as an investor, but the key principle here is you've gone through the painful part. Do not miss the upside. And this kind of combines with the last principle, which is when people sell out and they miss that upside. Most of the time when people sell out, we see that they miss somewhere around a quarter to a third of the recovery before they feel like things look good enough to get back in. Mm-hmm. And what people don't realize is the stock market is a very forward-looking measurement of what's going on in the economy. So the market dropped 30%. Earnings have not dropped 30% yet. Companies have not lost significant revenue yet. It's because what's coming. And in the same way, the market will start to move back up likely before the news gets completely better. Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, as I said before, once we can rule out some of the worst case scenarios, that's typically when you'll start to see some recovery happen. So the market will start to take into account that new information probably faster than you can react as an investor. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in the market for that recovery, you've gotten all the downside and the pain, but you're not going to get the upside and the recovery that you need to give yourself a reasonable long-term rate of return on your investments.
So right now, if you are invested right now in the health industry at all, or if you're invested in banks and those type of things, those are pretty regulated industries right now. Mm-hmm. We were talking about, you know, mid-2000s, you know, 2005 to 2008 when we had the big crash. Financial institutions were not really regulated that much. The mortgage industry was just running amok. They even came out with some securities that were offered I understand at almost like stocks, and then lenders were loaning that money with so-called lending rules. But as a lender myself, there weren't really too many rules. And of course, most of those loans defaulted. Those investors lost a lot of money. new regulations were imposed. You referred to those as systemic issues that caused that decline, and we just don't have that right now.
Yeah. The concern right now, and financial stocks have been hit, and that's a combination of what's changed in the interest rate world, and then there are risks of defaults in this. There's companies that are not, again, the idea of preparation, they're not prepared to weather out 30 to 60 days of dramatic decline in revenues. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you have a big shakeup in the energy world, which a lot of people are talking about the virus. Very few people are talking about energy, but that's been a source of a lot of the volatility. Mm-hmm. Is on top of everything going on in the headlines of the virus, you've got a oil price war happening in the background. So part of the concern for financial institutions now is how much have they lent to energy companies that might be highly leveraged. So it's not that there's no risk for loans, mm-hmm. but compared to the volume of loans and the risk that was really global in nature, it's very, very different this time than the last time.
Brian, you talk about the oil price war. I've seen the newspapers talk about this war being between Saudi Arabia and Russia. But really, what has happened is they've been trying to make American producers get out of the business. And now we have oil that's $30 or less a barrel. Normally, it has to be 40 plus in order for there to be even a break even for the producers in the United States, particularly in southeastern New Mexico. So yeah. How long will the government be able to do anything to help these oil producers? Is there ever a time where they would say, we're just going to use our own oil and not buy it from the world? I mean, I don't know how those kinds of decisions are made.
Yeah, so you're facing an oil glut right now. So supply and demand is going to be a big force here, like it always is when it comes to pricing oil. Mm-hmm. And basically what's happening right now is you're having an oversupply, and we're going to get to a point where there's no place to even put it all if the supply does not decline. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll start to correct that very quickly, because like you said, Texas and New Mexico oil producers they basically won't produce more wells eventually because the price is not conducive to doing that profitably. So it'll correct itself to some extent with some significant pain in our oil fields, which of course ripples through to our state budget here in New Mexico, in a big way. So yeah, there's going to be some big fluctuations there. The scary part is that it has to do more than just supply and demand. There's geopolitical forces at play here, so making a prediction on that market is always difficult. But right now, there's a lot of uncertainty. So I think, again, that's part of what's happening in the background. While we're all counting how many people are getting coronavirus, there's industries like energy that are looking at a whole nother issue that has significant ramifications globally, but certainly here in New Mexico.
Mm. Brian, in preparing for this show, you were kind enough to send me a bunch of topics and things. I love this show because every time I do a show, as in today, I get to learn a lot. You said something, though, surprising in your notes to me. You said that if helicopter money shows up, spend it quickly and locally. And if you don't have a major need, give it to someone you know who works hourly isn't currently without income. That is a really generous thing to even think about doing in this market. And I was surprised by it, but then I wasn't surprised by it. Tell us your feeling about this.
Yeah, so the idea, if the government does, it's the federal government, if they decide to send, again, I call it helicopter money, but it's a check to anybody who fits a certain criteria. And right now, the latest proposal I've seen on this says anybody, a couple with household income below $150,000 or an individual with income below $75,000 is what's being discussed. There's nothing passed yet, but that's what they're talking about, and that could be $1,200 per individual coming out. And I think for some people who maybe still have their job and haven't experienced a loss of income, it'll be easy to stow that money in their pocket and just hold it, and out of fear, they're not going to do anything with it. But the purpose of that money is to get it into the economy as quickly as possible to help push forward through this period for those companies that maybe are struggling. Mm. So if I was to get that check tomorrow, I'd be ordering Dion's Pizza, you know, and
yeah.
I'd be paying, you know, a local company to maybe come do my landscaping, even though I'm home around a lot right now to do it myself. You know, I want to get that money in the economy. And if I can't think of some way to spend it, I know a lot of great charities that are going to put that money to work, and they know who needs it most. Mm-hmm. So there's some great organizations around around the state and around your local community where that money can be injected and then given to those in need. But if I couldn't find those even, we all know somebody. Again, it's probably 25% of the population is facing some compromise to their income. Mm-hmm. I'd be looking directly. I'd be calling those people up and telling them, hey, what's your Venmo? I'm going to send you a couple $100 to help you get through this period. And again, I don't think you'll have to look far. You'll find somebody that's a waitress or a server, excuse me, or maybe someone who works in construction. There's been some projects that are slowing down. Any of these industries that are being impacted, it's mostly hourly rate workers, and helping them get through this period is going to be really important for the communities, for those families, but you know, even nationally as an economy, we need those people to stay afloat.
We are on the phone with Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates, and we'll be back with more from John. Boy, I'm really losing it, Brian. John Moore and Associates is Brian's company, but we're going to be back with Brian right after these messages. Stay with us.
Now that you've found the girl of your dreams, let us help you find the ring of her dreams. Whether you're worried about your budget, what to look for in a diamond, or even which ring to choose that will make her eyes light up, we've got you covered. We've got the best prices in Albuquerque, the largest selection in the state, and we're the only jeweler that allows you to exchange your ring for one full year, even if we custom designed it. You found your girl, and now you found your jeweler. John Thomas Jewelers, 2440 Louisiana Boulevard, on the third floor of the Lewis University building.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500. Or visit them online at waterextractionexperts.com.
We can change the world with the words we say. Hi, I'm Lisa Turkers with Proverbs 31 Ministries. One day, I was eating in a restaurant, and every time our server came to the table, she had something really kind to say. I was amazed by her gracious attitude, and I found it was quite contagious. So I challenged myself to make a conscious effort to use my words as a gift to each person that I came in contact with the rest of that day. You know, in a world that promotes tearing others down to build ourselves up, we can make a difference by using our words to bless and encourage. Let's look at those who we come in contact with today as people who really need a kind word or two. I've found that giving kind words, it's one of the greatest ways to make the love of Jesus known to so many who desperately need it. For more, visit Proverbs31.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates on the phone with us this afternoon talking about the volatility in the financial markets and how most of us need to stay the course, stay in that 401k, continue to contribute to it and receive matching contributions from our employers, et cetera. And Brian, you just really challenged all of us that if we know someone who works hourly and is currently without income, let's not even wait for them to ask. Let's Venmo some money over to them, and that's really an amazing thing, and I appreciate you challenging us with that today.
Yeah, I think it's a big part. It's a great chance to be a witness to those people, and all the best work we can do politically and socially, I think, starts local. And yes. So we're all waiting for the federal government to take action, but we have an individual responsibility to take action as well and not just wait.
Brian, I am looking at John Moore Associates' website, which, by the way, is johnmoore.com. A lot of neat information on the website. But right when you get on the website, it says, enough isn't enough. Money has its value, but there is no amount that can provide for what really matters. Explain that to us.
Yeah, so the idea there is a lot of people feel like if they seek enough resources, if they have some number they hit, that's enough for them. They will be satisfied. And what we've seen in our work, you know, serving families for a long time now and serving hundreds of families, is that it has to be more than that number. It has to be about your purpose for the money that you accumulate, the resources that God puts in your hands. So whether that's supporting family, supporting the community, as we were just discussing. Money has to represent a lot more than just your net worth.
Mm. Talk to us a little bit about giving in the midst of this. You already talked about being generous to individuals. How about your giving to your church and your giving to various charitable organizations?
To figure out the best places to give, I actually went to a resource we have. That's the National Christian Foundation. We have friends there that are extremely in touch with the nonprofits around the city and the state and at the national level. And I kind of poked them and said, hey, where would you give money right now? What are some organizations you think that are best positioned to identify and then help the people in need in these, you know, certain circumstances? And they sent me a list, and I thought it was really great. But what they started with was the idea that many people who are listening right now belong to a church, and they may not be worshiping right now because we can't gather, but there's still needs within the church, and many churches have a benevolence fund where members or people who are connected to that congregation can express a need, and the church can help them fill that need. So I think for those of you who are churchgoers, getting in touch with your congregation and asking about a benevolence fund, that's a very easy one. And you talk about local, you might be, you know, helping someone that sits two rows in front of you every Sunday. So that's a great place to start.
Absolutely. We talked a little bit with Pastor Daniel McCabe. He's an assistant pastor at Legacy Church right before having you on the air today. And they have outreach ministries. They work with Steelbridge. It's homeless ministry downtown. They continue to work with the homeless, and they're doing everything from feeding them to clothing them to housing them and providing for medical needs, huge financial need there. That can all be taken care of by giving to Legacy. We talked about Feed New Mexico Kids. Legacy is involved. Calvary of Albuquerque is involved. A lot of smaller churches throughout the city are involved. I understand that John Moore Associates is also helping Feed New Mexico Kids as well.
Yeah, well, they were our matching charity this year. We do an educational event every February for our clients, and our clients stepped up and donated to Feed New Mexico Kids. That's also on my list here because organizations like Feed New Mexico Kids and another one called Shine, they identify needy families by working closely with schools. And I think that's a really important piece right now, is without our kids in schools, these organizations are going above and beyond to stay connected with those families and meet them where they are and help them get through this lean period. On the other end of the spectrum, to help our elderly, organizations like Meals on Wheels could be a good option if you're looking to donate.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
As our seniors are more and more isolated because they're most at risk of this virus, being hospitalized or possibly dying from this virus, there's going to be more and more seniors that are getting very isolated in their homes, and Meals on Wheels has a great reputation for not only feeding those people, but giving them a sense of community and relationship, because a lot of those folks are alone. So that's a great organization to consider as well, and one that's, you know, been around and had a huge impact locally for years.
Yeah. Brian, leave us with maybe a silver lining, if you will, to all of this. We don't any of us know how long it's going to last, but we have time right now. It's extra time with our families, and leave us with something that God would have us do in this time.
I think God asks us to trust Him. Mm. You know, this is a great opportunity to trust in God and realize how little control we have as individuals, as communities, as countries over what's happening every day in our lives, really. I mean, it's, you know, we live with such a desire for control, but this is an event that reminds us that every day is a blessing. Every day of provision is a gift. And you mentioned families. I mean, I'm enjoying some extra time with my kiddos right now. You know, I'll be on a few hard calls with clients. It's really a blessing to step outside and spend 5 minutes shooting hoops with them outside in the sun and then come back in and get back to it. So I'm appreciating my family and my wife and kids that much more. And also the camaraderie of my team. I'm working from home, and so I don't get to see them every day. So it's a good time to reflect on the things we do have that are all gifts, our relationships on top of our resources.
Yeah. Brian, thanks so much for spending time with us today on ABQ Connect. We're going to come right back and talk a little bit about the Calvary Church Kindness Campaign. So, Brian, thanks for sharing with us, and we'll have you back on here in about 2 or 3 weeks. And I hope you don't mind if we call you with another big emergency as things change. I hope you'll be available to us.
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. Always my pleasure.
Take care and God bless.
Want to fly?
We can fly? Really fly? Fly!
The movie Wendy tells a familiar story from a different perspective, bringing the book Peter Pan to life in a gritty new way. Here, the trip to Neverland is a grimy, realistic affair with Wendy and her twin brothers hopping on a train and eventually arriving at that magical place where you never have to grow up. Wendy reflects on what we lose as we leave childhood behind, but what we gain as we mature. But this PG-13 take on the classic tale includes harsh profanity and some intense violence, too. It's not a movie for young children. So we're giving Wendy a 2.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio, and don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Plugging you into the movies, I'm Jonathan McKee for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
A Harvest America Moment with Pastor Greg Laurie.
Are you where you want to be spiritually? Maybe you find yourself discouraged or spiritually lethargic, and you need a jump start. You're thinking, how do I get back on track, running and winning the race of life? Well, I'll tell you what the motive is. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. The key is to look to Him, because things happen that can be discouraging. And we say, I don't know if I can keep going. Well, He started a work in your life. He wants to continue it on. But for that to happen, you need to keep your eyes on Him. Run the race for Him. You need to run the race for Him because He ran His race for you.
Impact your world with the gospel by knowing God and making Him known. Connect with Pastor Greg Laurie and sign up to receive his free daily devotion emails. To get started, visit harvest.org today.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for staying with us on ABQ Connect this afternoon. We are all hearing daily changes from our federal government and our state government and our city government about opening business and closing business and what services are available and what are not. I want to thank everybody. Our first responders are still amazing. We still have men and women in uniform all around the world and here in the United States. So be sure and be praying about those people. Pray for our leadership, the politicians that we have asked to represent us at every level are working really hard and working a lot of hours. So we want to pray for them and pray God just blesses them. Wanted to tell you a little bit about the Calvary Church Kindness Campaign. The Corona pandemic is affecting everyone, and in the midst of this fear, the calls for social distancing, the anger, bitterness, and meanness, the world needs a little bit of kindness. And in the midst of all the chaos, we believe at Calvary Church we are called to help calm. We are called to spread kindness. It's really no different than what God has called the church to do in the past. We just feel extra blessed to be able to respond to this call at this time and in this community. We are excited to roll out a new initiative starting immediately called the Kindness Campaign. This includes the three things initially and possibly more as we move forward. So the three things are these. First of all, we're picking up the phone. Our staff is making personal phone calls to everyone in the congregation. We have a database of X number of people and phone numbers, and we're calling everyone to ask how we can pray for people and meet needs that they have, especially if they are in a high-risk population group. If you don't receive a call, feel free to call the church at 505-344-0880, and you'll be in touch with somebody, put in touch with a pastor or one of our ministry leaders who can help get some information, find out your needs, make sure you're being prayed for, etc. Number two, the church is collecting practical items to meet real needs, and I'm sure this is true with almost every church in town. You can drop off paper goods like toilet paper and paper towels, hygiene items like soap, toothbrushes, and toothpaste, and feminine products, baby items like formula, diapers, and wipes. Remember, there are a ton of people. There's a lot of homeless people. There are a lot of low-income people. There are people that have lost their jobs, and they're going to need these items. So you can drop these off Monday through Friday in the parking lots at all of the campuses. Calvary has 3, Osuna, Westside, and the Santa Fe campus. And then number 3, we're delivering items to people who need them most. The front desk is taking phone calls. Again, that number is 505-344-0880. They are taking calls from people in the community who are at risk and need assistance. As the church learns about needs, they are matching them up with the practical items that are dropped off that we just mentioned, and they are getting church staff and volunteers out to all of these homes. So finally, this is an extraordinary time to be a believer and to truly be the church. The power of the pandemic is nothing compared to the power of God. We want to ask you to pray that God will use all of us, His church, in a mighty way that brings glory to His great name as we spread kindness in the midst of all of this chaos. That is the statement for the Calvary Church Kindness Campaign. It's going to be a neat thing. A lot of initiatives being taken by a lot of churches in town. If you are a church and you are doing something that you would like us to let the public know about, please email me. My email address is jim@abqconnect.online. You can also connect through us to us through the knkt.com website. But we want to know what's going on in your church, when your services are going to be available online or podcasts, etc. And we will get that information out and be part of your team. So thank you for listening today. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.